Before you start listening to this week's episode, I just wanted to give a little warning, if you will. I do get a little anti-Christmas at the top of the episode. So if you're one of those people that does think that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, I suggest you skip that part. If not, don't say I didn't warn you, and don't at me. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tunes of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to take a moment to kind of bitch about something, I guess, for a moment, if you'll allow me to. If not, oh well, this is my podcast and I do whatever the fuck I want to do. But one thing that's really been bugging me for these last couple months, really, is how early Christmas is starting to be given to us. You know, at a time when fucking Walmart, Home Depot, and Dollar General are putting out Christmas decorations at the same time they're putting up Halloween decorations. Or putting out Halloween decorations, excuse me. It's a little fucking ridiculous that Christmas is coming months before it's actually supposed to. I mean, look at fucking Amazon. They have a Black Friday pre-sale a full month before Black Friday even happens. They're doing this in fucking October. In October. So what the fuck is going on here? I mean, it's getting beyond ridiculous. I mean, in places like Syracuse, New York, there's radio stations that have announced that they were going to start playing Christmas music in fucking September. Why do they feel the need to do this a full 3 months before Christmas even begins? It's just beyond me why so many companies are so quick to push this on us, especially within the last couple of years. And I get it. There are literally billions of people that love Christmas. But there are also a number of people, myself included, who hate Christmas for our own various reasons. And I get it. It's supposed to be a time about spending time with family and, you know, realizing what you have and being thankful for it. And, you know, also celebrating the birth of Christ, if you believe in that kind of shit. I don't, but I get it. But what people fail to realize is that it's been a proven fact that Christ wasn't actually born in December. He was born sometime in the summer. So, once again, it's all these retail companies trying to take advantage of something just to get our money. And these days, Christmas isn't about spending time with your loved ones or those you care about. It's about, hey, look at how much shit we can get that we don't really need. There are, I really don't know about the numbers, but there are millions of kids who don't get shit for Christmas, and yet here we are, sitting in our nice homes, opening all this shit that we don't really need and that we're probably gonna break or throw away within the next year or so. I mean, and I'm guilty of this as well. Look at all these Salvation Army Santas that stand outside of Walmart or any given store at this time of year, and how many people just walk past them and don't pay them or give them any time of the day and think about someone other than themselves and give them, you know, and give these Santas, you know, an extra dollar that they have, or extra $5, or fuck, even an extra 50 cents. I mean, this is a time when our kids are more interested in getting fucking Fortnite money or Roblox money than wondering about their fellow classmates who might not have as much as they do. And, you know, maybe saying, hey, mom, dad, why don't we help these people out? All anybody cares about is what they can fucking get, not about the next person. And this is the single highest month in all the year, December, when suicide rates are at their highest, because there is such a thing as seasonal depression, and millions of people suffer from it. And a lot of people that you might know, or someone you know, or whoever, has lost people around this time of year, because it is the single most depressing and stressful time of the year. In a time when, like I said, suicide rates are at their highest, and when mass shootings are a commonplace thing and are happening at least a couple times a week now, now is the time when we need to stop worrying about all this commercial shit, what we can get, what we ourselves can get. Maybe it's time to start focusing on each other and how other people are doing, not just worrying about ourselves and what useless shit we can get at near the end of the month. You know, that's all I'm saying. And I get that there are people that love Christmas, and some people love it for the right reason. Some people do enjoy being around their family, but a lot of people are only worried about, like what I said, are worried about, like I said, getting shit they don't really need. So maybe it's time to start caring about each other and realize what this holiday is really supposed to be about. Now that I've gotten that little rant out of the way and probably pissed off a few listeners, I don't care. Let's get into the episode proper. So for this week, I thought I'd talk about a new-ish movie that's just on demand right now. And it made a very limited theater run. And that is this year, 2022's The Retaliators.
18, verse 3. Here's a parable about a woman seeking vengeance for a wrongdoer who victimized her and then escaped justice. But Jesus tells us, when a sinner goes unpunished, he is only free from man's law. When man's law fails, God's law prevails.
Mr. Bishop, hold it.
Detective Sawyer, I'm sorry about your loss, Pastor. Don't think this was a case of road rage. Sarah was found with her hands zip-tied to the steering wheel. I'm acquainted with this sort of hurt. I know the futility.
How'd you get through it?
I got healed.
How?
I'm going to tell you about an opportunity I was once given, and I'm going to offer you that same opportunity. I've got the guy, John. How'd you like 1 minute? 1 minute alone. John, I want to introduce you to the man who murdered your daughter. It's time for you to heal, John. My only rule is you can't kill him. Count the moments. He stole from your Sarah. No turning back, John.
You can't find your own brother. Look harder.
This isn't you. You're scaring me.
Daddy, you okay?
Who the hell are you guys? Where's my brother?
Come on! She's
fought harder than you do.
This movie opens with the pair of girls getting a flat tire on the side of the road. When one of them goes out to fix it, she is suddenly attacked by an unknown attack or an unseen attacker, and someone else comes and opens back the van that the girls own, and says to the surviving girl that she needs to leave now. And the man is suddenly grabbed from underneath the car and dragged away, while the other girl is attacked by several figures and killed. We then backtrack, I guess is the best word for it, to focusing on a pastor aptly named Bishop and his family. Bishop traditionally shuns confrontation and generally encourages others to do the same, such as in a scene where Bishop and his family are out to buying a Christmas tree, and some random douchebag takes the tree that his daughter wanted, and when he confronts the douchebag about it, he kind of bags down. That is, until his daughter has a run-in with a gangland hoodlum who has a car stashed with crystal meth, and a man who is not in great shape. She tries to run away. Her name is Sarah, by the way. Sarah attempts to flee, but while being chased, chooses to call her dad rather than 911, or maybe drive off in the general direction of the police station. Anyway, she ends up crashing into a guardrail, and the guy that was chasing her zip ties her hands to the car, or to the steering wheel, and causes the car to go into I don't know if it's a pond or a lake or whatever, it's never really described, and she ends up drowning. And after all this, after Sarah's funeral and all that, the pastor and his surviving daughter are in pretty bad shape, until a local police detective comes up and tells him, you know, that he's going to give him an opportunity that he had been offered himself. And then we get a flashback to a serial rapist, and I guess he's supposed to be kind of a murderer as well, who the detective helped catch. But then the rapist is released, I think, 6 years into his sentence, and then the rapist comes back once he's released to the detective's house and basically slaughters the detective's wife and unborn baby. And then we flash back to now, when the detective is offering the same opportunity to Bishop, saying that he caught the guy who killed his daughter and that he's going to give him 1 minute alone without any, you know, police interaction. And so the detective brings Bishop back to his house and leads him into this weirdly constructed room in his basement, where the guy that killed his daughter is tied to a chair. And he encourages Michael to take something from a vast array of weapons he has on a table to, you know, take his vengeance upon the dude. The only rule he has is that he can't kill him. And when Bishop refuses to do this, the detective knocks Bishop out, and Bishop wakes up tied to a chair himself, and the detective reveals that, you know, he's been doing this for quite some time for the people who have had to endure endure, what's the word I'm looking for, endure other such tragedies as he and Michael, or he and Bishop himself have had to deal with. And then he pulls a blanket off of a cage and reveals about, I don't know, maybe 16 other people who are there for various reasons, having either been raped or either being rapists, murderers, thieves, whatever. And he also reveals that the rapist that murdered his wife is in there as well. Meanwhile, the brother of the guy that killed Bishop's daughter, who is, I think he's supposed to be a leader of a motorcycle gang, is out looking for him, for his brother, I mean. And they somehow track his brother down to the detective's house, and a whole gunfight ensues in which Bishop releases all the other prisoners who have been reduced to, I mean, they're not dead, but they're basically mindless zombies, very violent mindless zombies, who basically attack everybody in that room with them. And some of them end up escaping, and that brings us back to the beginning of the movie, where Bishop is revealed to have been the guy that told the surviving girl to get the hell out of there. And then the movie just kind of degenerates into Bishop running around trying to get the last of the escapees. And then we go to, for the final part of the movie, we go to a scene where Bishop and his surviving younger daughter are at a batting cage, where a guy comes in and basically kicks his daughter out of, or kicks Bishop's daughter out of the batting cage while Bishop is out getting some balls. And Bishop comes back and basically tells the dude that, hey, my daughter was here first. And then actually ends up sticking up for himself, and the movie ends. So before this movie even came out, a big deal was made about all the cameos that were going to appear in this movie. All basically popular musicians from now, you know, like From Ashes to New has a cameo, Eva Under Fire has a cameo in the movie, Tommy Lee from Motley Crue has a quick blink and you'll miss it cameo as a DJ, Ivan Moody and the rest of Five Finger Death Punch have a fairly large role as motorcycle gang members, and Spencer Charnas from Ice Nine Kills has a rather quick cameo as well. I mean, I'm pretty sure this was all just done as a marketing ploy to try to get people to come see this movie, because to tell the truth, it's really not a good movie. I wanted to like it, I really did, but it's rather lackluster, and it's kind of overly long, and the beginning of it makes it seem like this is going to be a zombie movie, but it's really not. It's more of a revenge / action movie more than anything. I mean, it's barely even horror. There's certainly elements to it, certainly horror elements to it, especially towards the end, but it takes a really, really long time for this movie to get to the point. I mean, it's almost an hour and a half in, and this is a 2-hour movie, or just barely over 2-hour movie, and nothing really happens until about an hour and a half into the movie. It's just mainly about Bishop dealing with his grief for the first hour and a half, and it really doesn't go anywhere. It's kind of like, fuck, what was that movie called? There was a recent, fuck it, I'm not even going to bring that up because I can't even remember the name of it, but there was a recent, a year or two ago, World War II movie that was supposed to be about zombies, but it really, I mean, it was about zombies, but it took a really long point to get to that point. I wish I could remember the name of it. I think I did an episode on it. But anyway, there's also a lot of stupid moments in this movie. Like when Sarah Bishop's older daughter is being chased. Why doesn't she call the fucking cops? Or why doesn't she go somewhere where, you know, there's people instead of just calling her dad? I mean, it doesn't really make sense. The movie just drags on a lot longer than it should. And it's not probably what it should have been. And it's definitely not all that it was hyped up to be. It's a rather disappointing movie. Despite all the hype that was made about it. And I think, like I said, that's just because of all the cameos that were in this movie to be used as a marketing ploy. Oh, I also forgot to mention Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach is in this as well, and he plays the rapist. I think his last name was Quinn or something in this. I can't fucking remember. It's a very forgettable movie. And I guess that's the biggest crime that this movie makes, because it could have been good, but they just kind of lose their way, and it loses steam less than halfway into the movie. It's also made to look a lot gorier than it is, and except for one very short scene, there really isn't that much gore in it either. And like I said, not that gore makes a movie, but sometimes it does help, and in this case, a lot more gore definitely would have helped. IMDb gave this a 5.2 out of 10 for some fucking reason. Rotten Tomatoes gave this an 88%, which shocks me. And Letterboxd gave it a 3 out of 5, and I give it a 1.8 out of 5. And that just about wraps it up for this episode. As always, you can reach out to me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. And also one more thing before I go. My latest episode of Everything Heavy Under the Sun Metal Podcast is out now. So if you haven't yet, go give that a listen. I'm into my third episode on that now. And like I said in the previous episode, this podcast is based more around the music that I love, which is heavy metal music. And that's it, guys. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time. Hey guys, it's Dustin. I just wanted to say something really quick. I know this episode probably seemed a little disjointed, that I was struggling to come up with thoughts. That was because I kind of forgot to take notes on the Retaliators because it bored me that much, to be quite honest. So I kind of forgot to take notes, and I was going off on memory. So if I seem kind of uninterested or disjointed on this episode, that's why. And it won't happen again. But sometimes shit like that just happens.